I'm Vince Colonnais with Mary Walter.
Joining us is Congressman Don Beyer. He's a Democrat out of Virginia. Congressman, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Vince.
Glad you could join us. Let's talk about this government shutdown. Looks like at midnight there's going to be a shutdown if the Senate cannot pass this continuing resolution. Democrats against this. Why would the Democrats vote against a continuing resolution that will give them an extension of the CHIP program for 6 years? Isn't that something they want?
It is, although, you know, the Congressional Budget Office and others point out that if you just make the CHIP program permanent, everybody likes CHIP. Even President Trump likes CHIP. It actually saves a lot of money. The dilemma, Mary, is that this will be the fourth time since September 30th that we have kicked the can down the road again. And you talk to your generals, you talk to General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. It's terrible for our military. You find that the defense hawks in the House and Senate are also very much against failing to just pass a simple appropriations bill to keep the government open.
Now, I think based on their rationale, they'd like to, but they just feel like they can't actually get a long-term agreement because Democrats have been resisting that. That's why we keep going to continuing resolutions, no?
No, that's silly. The Democrats don't resist it. Remember, the Republicans control the White House, the Senate, and the House. They don't need a single Democratic vote.
Except for in the Senate.
Forward on this.
But they do need Democrats in the Senate, though.
Yeah, well, although it'd be very easy to get the Democrats in the Senate. They had 18 of them the last time. Every single Democrat voted to do the continuing resolution back on September 30th. The greater dilemma is that you have this internal dissension within the Republican Party about how to move forward on issues that almost all moderate people of both parties agree on. Let's start with the Dreamers. I mean, you got 690,000 kids who were raised in the United States who speak English as Americans who are deeply ingrained in our culture. You know, we run a little family business out in Northern Virginia. We have lots and lots of Dreamers there. We have three at one of our stores who've been there a total of 30 years.
So you employ a couple of legal immigrants at your stores?
No, actually, ours are TPS, temporary protective status.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Rather than Dreamers.
So those are not DACA.
Issue,
okay.
No. Because we have to be very careful, as we should be. So this is the deal. Boy, if you just put a compromise, middle-of-the-road Dreamer legislation on the floor of either the House or Senate, would pass easily. But as long as you got Steve Miller in the White House deciding what immigration policy is going to be, nothing's happening.
So while we're on this subject, because there's a couple other things we want to get to real quick. DACA, you think that coming to an agreement on a budget, you won't do that unless you come to an agreement on immigration?
I don't want to say that absolutely, because I'm still very hopeful that we'll be able to keep the government open tonight. But from our perspective, this is something that President Trump promised a solution to, Paul Ryan promised a solution to, and now we're almost to March 5th, and 1,000 kids a day are losing their Dreamer status, their DACA status. So these are lives upended, once and for all. And the only leverage that we have is when they need Democratic votes. And by the way, they control both houses or they don't. When they need them, it's the only negotiating tool that we have.
I'm going to ask you about some other issues that you're very focused on. Gravelly Point Park, there was a move by the House this week to change it, to rename it after Nancy Reagan. You don't like this idea. Could you give us a quick reason why?
Well, Vince, this is not a fight that I went looking for. Jody Heiss, who represents southern rural Georgia, decided to rename a park in the 8th District of Northern Virginia. And he did it without calling us or giving us any heads up. I called him and said, hey, please don't do this. We'll be happy to have a discussion here and have some town halls, but no, they decided to go ahead. And our simple thought was he'd be pretty upset if I went to Georgia and started renaming his forest after William Tecumseh Sherman, mm-hmm. or some park down there after Hillary Clinton. So, let's involve Arlington Alexandria Falls Church, the people that use that park day in and day out.
It's probably because he suspects Northern Virginia is not clamoring to name anything after Nancy Reagan. I think that's probably why.
The airport next door is named after Ronald Reagan.
That's true, and it was done with a battle. That's right.
Yeah, but the airport at least is used by lots and lots of people around the country, around the world. Gravelly Point is very much not a tourist attraction. It's where local families come to watch the airplanes.
Also, Amazon. That's the big story this week in our area and Northern Virginia in competition for this. Any reaction to the fact that Amazon has put Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Montgomery County on a short list here of just 20 cities?
Well, I'm glad that Jeff Bezos has a house here now. We're thrilled that he's put so much money into the Washington Post. And it's smart that three of the 20 choices are right here because this has, you know, the highest gene pool. It's a great quality of life. And we'd love those high-end jobs here, too.
I wanted to, well, we'll see how this goes now that they've narrowed it down to 20. We'll see if they narrow it down any further. And as you said, with three locations, probably stand a very good chance of getting it in this area. Going back to the shutdown, you and Representative Whitman introduced the Federal Employee Retroactive Pay Fairness Act to guarantee back pay to furloughed workers if there's a government shutdown. Why now? Don't they always get paid for that time that they're home?
No, they actually don't. And we've always made this bipartisan. Rob Whitman's a good friend and a Republican from Virginia. And I spent a lot of yesterday on both sides of the aisle signing up Republican and Democratic co-sponsors. We just want to make sure that the federal workers, you know, I have more federal workers in Northern Virginia than any other place in the country, but virtually every congressional district has some. You know, and we don't want them feeling they're going to miss a mortgage check or a car check or a tuition check because we can't get it together on Capitol Hill.
Let me ask real quick about the President of the United States' comments related to this shutdown yesterday. He said the following. I want you to hear this from Pennsylvania.
Okay. I really believe the Democrats want a shutdown to get off the subject of the tax cuts because they've worked so well.
Now, is that the case? Are Democrats at all nervous about the political implications of these tax cuts?
No, we will see. You know, in the short run, there are going to certainly be a lot of people that are going to have a little more money. In the middle run, something like 83 million Americans pay more taxes. And 7 or 8 years out, when the personal taxes reductions go away and the corporate and the high-end ones stay, you're going to have something like 83% of the benefits going to the top 1%.
Yeah, that's assuming Congress.
I don't like the tax bill, but I'm not worried about the political implications at all.
Yeah,
they will be obvious.
That scenario, the expiration scenario, assumes that Congress won't make them permanent. And remember, it happened before with the Bush tax cuts, and the Congress did make it permanent. They decided to keep them, and that was under President Obama. So we'll see what happens with that. Don Beyer, thank you very much. Really appreciate you, Congressman, joining us on Mornings on the Mall this morning.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Mary.